right, welcome back to the next episode of No Country for Us. Today I'm joined by Sophie Kurit. Say hi, Sophie.
Hello.
Hi, all right. And today we're going to be talking about sort of a controversial issue, something that's kind of big right now, social justice, specifically feminism. Okay, so Sophie, what does feminism mean to you?
That's a great question. Well, whenever it like first started, feminism was just for equality between women and men, but it's become like a much larger movement. I think people that are feminists consider themselves like LGBT rights activists, and they care a lot about a lot of different issues. So I think it's just someone who really cares about trying to help the world.
Okay. All right. Now, if I'm going to be honest, I've voiced this to you before.
Of course.
I don't particularly like the direction that modern feminism has taken. Okay. I completely agree with all the previous movements that it's had. For an example, like back when it first started in like, you know, the late 19th century and the early 20th century, you know, it was all about women's suffrage. And then as it continued, it was about getting women in the workforce. All of that I can stand behind. But today I specifically feel like, at least in today's modern world, has become kind of I feel like it's inadvertently come to shame men. If you understand where I'm going with that?
Sure. I think it's just a loud minority that's doing that.
A loud minority. So what do you mean by that?
I think the people that consider themselves feminists, like of that group, I think a very small percentage of them have a goal of shaming men, or a goal of proving that women are better than men, or a goal of pushing men out of the workforce or something. I think they're just very vocal about it, and it's what people pay attention to. They don't pay attention to the women that are working hard to make things better for other people rather than worse for someone.
So would you say then that's more of like a media thing?
I think it's partially a media thing, but I think like with the way social media works today, everyone has access to anything that anyone is saying on Twitter at any given time. So I think it's what you choose to pay attention to and what you choose to filter in and out of like your own like consumption of media, I guess.
Right. So I don't I see a lot of, when I was talking about the media thing in terms of like, you know, feminists pushing like more shameful attitudes, not saying that's what they're doing, but saying from what I've seen it come out of outlets, for an example, like BuzzFeed, and I've even seen it come out of Vice. In, you know, outlets like that where they where they push these you know, more shameful movements like all men are privileged, you know, gender pay gap, which is his own separate problem, but then like even the man spreading thing, that's where I've seen these kind of things come out of.
I think they're very clickable, and I think that's why things like BuzzFeed
clickable.
Yeah, they are. They immediately get your interest because you're either, oh my god, yes, I hate all men, or oh my god, yes, all the men in my life are terrible, or you're a man who's like, I don't do that, and it gets you worked up.
Yeah.
So I think it is probably partly a media issue. Now that you bring it up,
do you think that could be kind of harmful? However,
of course, I think it could be harmful. I think irresponsible journalism is one of the most harmful things there can be.
So let's talk about the privileged thing, for an example.
Sure.
All right, because like I see that one is pushed a lot. Like men are more privileged than women, and to a certain extent, I do actually agree with that. Like, for an example, I don't have the fear. Like I've seen a lot of women, you know, talk about this, how like, you know, men do not have the fear of walking down the street and being assaulted.
Yeah.
And like that is a real danger that women face, which I completely agree with. And you know, however, when it comes to like pay and stuff and the gender pay gap, I don't necessarily think that men are privileged.
My whole thing with the like men are privileged issue is that by saying like men are like, it's a privilege to be a man, you're more privileged, it's not saying that like every single individual male is going to be paid more than his female coworkers, is going to be more successful, is immediately going to do this. It just means that, like, being a male has given you, like, an edge over everyone else. It doesn't mean that, like, every man, there's not, like, poor men, and, like, men don't get discriminated against. Of course they do.
Right.
Of course there are situations where, like, they prefer women to do things over men. There's plenty of issues where that's the case, but
Exactly.
It's just in general, being a man is a privilege.
Right. Now, do you think that when it comes to including women in things, now, obviously, I agree with, you know, getting more women in the workforce. I think that's a good thing. I don't see why it wouldn't be. But do you see that, would there be a problem with getting a job just because somebody is a woman?
This is something I'm really not sure about my opinion on. Just because I think special measures, especially in the beginning when women were joining the workforce, like after the war, whenever they were like kicked out of their jobs and wanted to go back in, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Special measures did have to be taken in order for women to be able to get these jobs. Companies did have to like set special positions aside for women to have. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like quotas and stuff like that.
Exactly.
But I don't know if we need those or not in modern society.
Because the only thing I worry about is, once again, I'm all for women being in the workforce. You know, I think it's a good thing. However, at the same time, it's like, I feel like there's become this new pattern being set where people are getting jobs just because of their sex, just because of their gender, just because of their race. And I don't think that's necessarily a good thing. I think we still need to go off the merit-based system where you get in because you deserve this job.
Sure. I think it's a little bit of like a slippery slope to assume someone got the job just because they were black,
right,
or just
right.
because they were a woman. Obviously, they met the qualifications for that job,
right.
if they were going to get it.
Exactly.
I don't know. That's like a legislation thing, like affirmative action legislation. So
right, right. All right. So when it comes to the gender pay gap, this was kind of our discussion like a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
So where, before we like actually address the problem, like where do you fall on that?
I'm going to be honest, I haven't done a lot of super recent research on it, like mm-hmm. over the past few years, and I know a lot of new things have come up and come out.
Right.
I also personally, I'm just a high schooler. I have a simple retail job. Everyone gets paid the same.
Right.
So I haven't had like the personal experience mm-hmm. of a gender pay gap, and I don't know the most recent statistics.
Right.
But I won't dismiss it. I think there's something there.
To what extent do you think it exists?
I think it probably exists a lot more in the corporate world than anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I think the pay gap exists, but I also think there's an issue with men getting promoted over mm-hmm. women, and that being what creates the issue. Women are often passed up for promotions when they're perfectly as capable as their male counterparts.
Like when they're favored for it. Is
yeah.
what you're saying.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily know anything about that situation particularly, but I do know a little bit about the pay gap. The only reason I bring it up is because I mean, I believe it does exist, but I don't believe it solely exists because somebody is a woman. I believe there's multiple factors that go into causing that pay gap. And I don't know, I think it's I think it's incorrect to assume that somebody is not getting paid enough just because they're a woman. Now, do I think that discrimination against women exists? Absolutely. And like you just brought up with the getting promoted, I mean, I haven't heard a lot of situations where that is the case, but I mean, I can certainly believe that happens, you know?
I think that ties back into what we were talking about earlier about like your chosen consumption of media, because I hear about stuff like that all the time with like the news right. outlets I pay attention to.
Right. And you know, from what I've seen and actually talking to people, you know, feminism has a much different side when it's not associated with the media.
Yeah.
You know, because like talking to you, like every time I think feminism nowadays, specifically nowadays, has had kind of a negative connotation because everybody associates it with, you know,
hating men, the women are superior, that sort of thing.
Yeah, the feminazi.
Interesting you choose to use that word, but yeah.
Well, I'm not using that.
It's the colloquial.
Yeah.
Don't even
the
try
vernacular.
To say it.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, from everybody I've talked to actually face to face, though, nobody actually carries those attitudes. That's something that's I've seen, I think, is a more radicalist like idea, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And it's more, I don't know, and because it's so radical, that's why the media has specifically latched on to it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So what do you think Generation Z particularly has had a role in all of this? Because modern day feminism, you know, this is something more of, I see as being a millennial movement. And being contained within the millennials, and then it's kind of trickled down to ours, but I think we've taken it a little differently.
Well, kind of what we, like, started talking about, I think feminism has become much more about overall social justice. Someone mm-hmm. who, like, truly considers themselves a feminist doesn't just care about women's issues, right. or phrasing that a little better, like, women's issues is, like, a lot of different things. And I think a lot of people in our generation really care about the world and care about making things better for everyone else. We're like a very social justice, being socially active mm-hmm. kind of generation. And I think a lot more people just choose not to call themselves feminists, but they like do agree with those like modern ideologies of like mm-hmm. helping the little guy.
Right, right. You know, see, what's weird is I agree to social justice to some extent. So, what like, do you mean? So, like, I don't necessarily believe, I'm, you know, this makes me sound like a terrible person. it's not that I don't agree with helping, you know, minorities in America. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is, I don't necessarily think that it's always necessary. For an example, like on a lot of college campuses, we have the, you know, minority programs to, you know, help those,
sure,
you know, get through college. Those programs aren't offered to other, you know, races, for an example. Like, that's not offered to white people or really people of a certain financial background. So it's like, I don't see a lot of these movements focus around finding justice for these minorities, but in reality, I think they're, I'm not saying they're privileged, but I think they can be quite advantaged at times.
I can totally see where you're coming from. I think going along with, like, your example of college, that's mm-hmm. sort of another example of, like, something that used to be really, really necessary. And I'm not right. saying it's not necessary today.
Mm-hmm.
We can get into that in a minute. But it's one of those things that used to be really, really necessary. Like, there had to be specific
right.
ways to, like, help get used like minority races into college, and there had to be specific scholarships to help get like transgendered students into colleges because right. they were really struggling and not a lot of minority families had money or something like that. So yeah. it's one of those things that it probably does need to be like revisited,
mm-hmm.
I guess, but I think there was a time when it was absolutely necessary
oh, for
to
sure.
work the way it does now.
Exactly. I just think it's become kind of like an antiquated law, you know, something that's not used anymore. I'm not saying it's not used completely anymore. Like, I can, financial aid and, you know, getting scholarships because of minorities, I do think it has its place.
Sure.
I think, but to the extent that it is now.
Yeah. I think it kind of ties in with what we were talking about with, like, the male privilege mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah.
Like, being white is absolutely a privilege, especially in America. But it doesn't mean that you are privileged.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are definitely poor white people. There are definitely white people that are discriminated against right. or that are suffering. I'm not saying that's not true. But
yeah.
in general, overall, with the way our country is now, it is a privilege. See, I don't think that's something you can deny.
See, this is where I kind of disagree with you in a sense. So, to what extent do you think white people are privileged?
I think they're privileged in a lot of ways. I think it is something going along with, like older generations while they're still in power. I'm not saying our generation is perfect, but mm-hmm. I'm willing to bet some money on the fact that there are less racist bosses in Gen Z than there are in older generations. But I think being white is a privilege in terms mm-hmm. of, I mean, interactions with the police.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's a hot button issue. That could be its own podcast.
Yeah, I'll get into that one.
Yeah. I think there are definitely, I don't want to speak on behalf of anyone,
mm-hmm.
but it's a privilege in like the corporate like job world for sure. I think minorities are held to like a higher standard when they're at work.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of feel the same way about women. Mm-hmm. They're expected to, I don't know how to phrase it. They don't get as much leeway, I think, as white people do. And I think white people are allowed to, I don't really know how to phrase what I'm thinking. But
no,
I know it's there.
I understand what you're trying to say. And the only reason I don't completely agree with saying that white people are privileged is because do I believe that they have benefited in the past? Absolutely. I mean, this country, I mean, a major part of our history was, you know, slavery. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that there's no way that didn't benefit white people. However, at the same time, it's like nowadays, I mean, obviously slave owners don't exist today. That's an illegal. Yeah, they outlawed that one. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I bring it back to the whole minority thing, getting those scholarships at college. The reason I don't think white people are privileged is because I think we've reached this point in history where when you step into an office building, now everybody's hypersensitive about making sure that certain minorities are included to the extent where white people are passed up because they're white and that the minorities get the job because they're a minority.
I'm not saying that doesn't happen or hasn't happened, mm-hmm. but I think it happens a lot less.
Right.
Than you're thinking it does.
Because, I mean, look at me. I'm a white dude.
Straight white man.
I'm a straight white male.
The worst person in America.
I'm a straight white male. But my financial standing in this country, and I'm not talking about me specifically, I'm talking about my family. Mm-hmm. We're not a rich family, by no means. I mean, we're not poor, but we're definitely not rich. So it's like, I don't like this idea where, I mean, I was about to say something, but I was like, maybe not that one. But I was like, I definitely don't have, you know, a great foothold in when it comes to social classes here in America.
Sure.
Like, I'm a painful middle class. I'm painfully average, you know. So saying that all white people are privileged, I think it's an unfair overgeneralization.
Well, that's not what I said earlier. I think being white is a privilege, but mm-hmm. I don't think all white people are privileged.
Right. Right. So
it's not
when you say,
okay, I have a question for
okay.
you. Say you get pulled over by a cop
mm-hmm.
and you have like alcohol in the car with you, you were speeding, you were mm-hmm. doing something
yeah.
wrong. Would you prefer to be a white person or a black person in that situation?
Well, I can only answer this question because I'm a white person and I don't have the experience of being a black person. So I can only say.
Yeah, but you pay attention to the news.
Yeah, I do. And I do believe there is an issue with police brutality.
There's a whole issue.
Especially when it comes to, you know, minorities. I mean, obviously, yeah, I'm a white person. I probably would be treated differently.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think is police brutality an issue? Yes, but I think we also need to look at the whole picture in those situations. Like, we shouldn't just say that all police are brutal or
I didn't make that blanket statement.
Well, I know, but I feel like that's what's implied when it comes to dealing with minorities, because when somebody refers to somebody being, for an example, black, and they're in the car and they get pulled over by police, it's immediately assumed that they're going to be judged differently by any police officer.
Sure, but I think you're also overlooking like the casual racism that exists in mm-hmm. a lot of the police force and in a lot of America.
Right.
I'm not saying every police officer is racist. I don't believe that that is true.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think there are a lot of situations where, and this goes into like the whole criminal justice system too,
right, yeah.
Where a cop, if it was a white teenage boy speeding, might just say, oh, right. boys will be boys, I'll let you off. Mm-hmm. But he might write the black teenager a $10,000 fine because he's a danger to society and he's being unruly or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I completely understand.
I think situations like that happen all the time.
I do too. I feel like the in saying that anybody would be, you know, immediately, any police officer would act immediately different towards.
Sure, I don't think you should make blanket statements about anything like that.
Exactly. So that's why I think it's a dangerous thing to say that, you know, white people, for an example, are privileged in that sense, because I don't think that's always the case.
But it's the case to enough of an extent that I think you can say it. And it's been the case for, like, throughout current and, like, recent history that I think it is a statement you can make.
Right. I mean, for an example, I can't go there either because, like, I'm not completely white. But and the person that happened to definitely wasn't white. So, I understand the concern, if you will, the issue that is there. I understand. I don't think here in America we have completely, not necessarily assimilated other minorities, whether that be women or, you know, racial minorities. But I do think there is a weird level of tension going on.
Yeah. I mean, I think there are tons of things that need to be addressed, and there are tons of policies that need changing and legislation that needs writing. But I think we're kind of at, like, a shift or, like, a crossroads, I guess, in America.
So what do you think? Where do you see it end up going then?
I'm really not certain. I think it could go a lot of different directions. Like, I hope things get better for, like, a lot of different people. I hope that, I think it kind of ties in with, like, like, the next presidential election that's coming up. Mm-hmm. Usually when a, like, super conservative president is elected, the country, like, swings back the other direction.
Yeah.
And elects, like, a super liberal president. So, I mean, maybe something like that will happen.
Right.
We'll all get all hippied out. I don't know.
Yeah. What I've seen recently is that our generation particularly tends to be, like, way more offensive.
What do you mean by offensive?
So, like, I feel like we have almost an attitude of trying to offend.
I don't think that's everyone, but I think I see where you're coming from.
Because, like, I mean, for an example, our use of comedy, especially. I mean, just the other day, me and you were talking about Anthony Jeselnik.
I love Anthony Jeselnik.
Yeah, and but his brand of comedy is specifically there to piss people off.
Yeah, but it doesn't just upset, like, not upset. It's not just written for, like, teenagers in our generation. Like, I know plenty of 40-year-old men that love Anthony Jeselnik.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, though, is that the previous generation, specifically, like, millennials and maybe, like, the generation before that, Generation X, nowadays, many people wouldn't consider that acceptable humor. Yeah.
I think millennials probably, just based off of, like, the stereotype of a millennial, I guess, and the ones that I know, they're not as good at laughing at themselves
as not.
I think our generation is. I think that's... Yeah. It's so crazy seeing such a clear difference between the people that graduated when I was a freshman and the people that are freshmen now that I'm graduating.
Yeah.
It's like a whole different breed of person.
Well, it kind of has to do with where I think we're going as a generation, like what we're going to be like when we take, you know, the reins on the country.
Yeah.
Is that I think we're going to have a lot more. It's kind of like this. I think Generation X caused a lot of problems, and then the millennials overreacted to it. And
I don't think Generation X did anything.
I don't think they did either.
I don't even know if they're employed.
Okay, so whatever previous generations caused the problems, millennials kind of, I feel, were the ones that overreacted to it. And then Generation Z has kind of like, I don't know, they're like, I don't want to say they're more sensible, but that's not it. That's not it either.
No, I don't think they overreacted. I think they just reacted, and they're the first people to deal with those problems. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they're the people going to college now that it's so expensive. Like, they're, like, dealing with these issues as they're hitting them, like the gun control issue in this country.
Yeah.
Like, millennials, for the most part, were the ones that were in high school and middle school when all of these school shootings, like, started happening. So,
I'm sorry. As much as I like to continue this, we were at 25 minutes.
Okay. That's
and,
fair.
And Tom, you know Tom.
Tom will have a stroke.
Tom will have a stroke. Love you, Tom.
Shout out, Tom.
All right. We'll have to pick this up later because I actually like this conversation. I like where this is going. All right. Sure. All right. Well, tune in next time for No Country for Us. We will be talking about, we'll find a topic. All right. And that is it. Thank you so much for listening. Say bye.
Bye.